Here we go. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday night Parsha Shir, studying the Sefer of Rav Lopiansky, Yisodei HaTorah on Tetzaveh, where he quotes so many of the fundamental philosophies, hashkafas, ideas behind Yiddishkeit. Of course, many, many really important topics to discuss this Thursday night about Parsha Tetzaveh. We begin with the big day kahuna. And some people feel that, you know, why do you have to get all dressed up to serve Hashem? Hashem knows who I am on the inside. Why does Hashem care what it looks like on the outside? This is something that we speak about very frequently in this year. And there is a fundamental dispute between the Rishonim. We'll get to that in a minute. But before we get to that, what's the idea of choosing one tribe to sort of be the educators, the ministers in the Beis HaMikdash? Only one tribe. If you and I, well, you, Jay, you're part of the tribe. But if I would want to, you know, I consider myself a pretty religious guy. If I wanted to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, try as I might, I can't. What gives Jay the right to serve over me? You're so much better than me. Says the Abarbanel, first source. Vinei. Only one family. Says that Barbanel, there are two reasons why God chose one family. There are a lot of things that could prevent a person from becoming great in learning. You know what the number one thing, says the Abarbanel, that prevents a person from being great in learning? Well, okay, let's see. Ubnei Adam bebakoshas tzarcheim v'tzarchei isha ubanim yumnu min haspodlus v'hasaga. You got to sweat and work for a living. You got to get out there. You got to provide for your wife. You got to provide for your kids. You got to work. Says that Barbanel, that's the biggest thing that prevents people from becoming Tamidi Chacham. Ulakach, Tziva, Shetisiache, Lazem, Mishpacha Achas. Chal Yisrael has to designate one family that's going to sit and be supported by the community. They'll sit in Koilel, and they're going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Yekol Hishtadlusa, Lishtalim B'idios Elokius. Their entire efforts and energy should be spent in getting close to Hashem, and they're going to teach all the rest of us, and they're going to minister on behalf of us. They're not going to have to be bothered by having a job. That can't be true of all Jews, right? That can't be everybody. Someone's got to support the other ones. L'chein, hivdel mishpach achas, hayoser muchenes l'shleimus, shahoyu b'nei Aaron mitzad ha'avu mitzad ha'em. They were Kohanim on the father's side and the mother's side. We give them all the matnas kahuna. They could live off the matnas kahuna. They don't have to work for a living. They can live off the karbanos and the breads, the menchas. V'heim yavdu ha-migdash ba'ad kolam. They will serve in the migdash on behalf of us. U'shar b'nei Yisrael yasu malachtam. Everybody else is supposed to work for a living. U'bachar b'shevet levim b'ed shashvatim ki hu haya yosem muchan l'shlemus. Whatever that means. He chose Shevet Levi because Shevet Levi was the most prepared for an elevated status. And even within Shevet Levi, it's the Kohanim. The Kohanim were the best and the brightest of the Levim. Because Moshe's wife was a Midianis, says that Barbanel. He says, why the sons of Aaron, not the sons of Moshe? Because Aaron his wife came from good stock also. But Moshe's wife, not such great stock. That's why the Torah says, the Torah talks about the yichus of these people. Now the second, that's one thing. One thing he says is that the more a person has to worry about parnasa, the more a person can't really grow in his learning in Avodas Hashem. I paid a shiva call this week to Harav HaGoyin of Meir Tursky, Shlita, of Salvechik's grandson. I'm close with him because we spend the summers together. The last 20 summers we've been together pretty much every summer. And he said that one of the amazing sacrifices that his mother made for his father to become great in Torah was when money was tight in the family, so the father felt the responsibility to go out and earn more. And mom said to dad, "We have enough. Don't go get yourself another job. We have enough. We have enough. We don't need more. We'll be okay with this." So he said over at the Shiva house this week, he said that this is a testament to his mother's sacrifice for Torah, because his mom knew if dad took upon himself another job, it would take away from his ability to learn. So mom wanted to make sure that dad was a big Talmud Chacham. So mom said, I'm gonna live on less. Fascinating. One more point. The second point, says, this is interesting. Why is there a Beis HaMikdash only one place on earth? Only one place that I'm putting my house. And the only people who could serve in the Beis HaMikdash was from one family. Everything is like the fact there's one Hashem, one Yerushalayim, one Beis HaMikdash, one family of Kohanim, only them. I wasn't sure what he was driving at. Like, why was that so significant? Unless you want to say that it sort of helps us focus on the derech to get to Hashem if we know there's one Eretz Yisrael, there's one Yerushalayim, there's one Beis HaMikdash. It helps us focus. There's one family. You don't have to give tests to see who's Roy, who's not Roy. You know, I got a higher mark than him, so I should be in the Beis HaMikdash. No. Hashem wants to keep it simple. He wants to keep the access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu simple. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is only one, there's only one Hashem. There's not a God of good and a God of evil, Chas V'Shalom. There's only one Hashem, so what's the matter? Yeah, Dr. Feldman, yeah.
Why does it say Mitzad HaEmek? Because it almost implies that, you know, Beis HaMikdash, that
right, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's what it sounds like, though. You're right. Now, I mentioned before this issue of the clothing. So this is well known already. We'll just do it quickly because it's well known.
You're talking about the first one?
No.
Because they're both from Shevet Levi.
No, but right. What he's asking, what happens if a Kohen? What happens if a Kohen marries a Yisraelis?
Yeah, but that happens, but he's saying the first one, he's saying up at the top. Where that family started, Aram and Yocheved were both from Shevet Levi.
But as opposed to Moshe, who married outside. There's a machlokas here. The next piece is over here. It's the Ramban against the. In general, just so you should know, in general, I mean, I think I mentioned this before. Rabbeinu Bechayai, who Reb Lopiansky loves quoting Rabbeinu Bechayai, he's got amazing, amazing things to say, but he's often just elaborating or explaining the Ramban. Rabbeinu Bechayai is almost always elaborating and explaining the Ramban. So there's a major question about these special garments, right? The whole beginning of the parasha, the whole first half of the parasha talks about the Big Day Kahuna. And the question that the Rishonim struggle with, was the Big Day Kahuna Erev Tov Avi? Were the Big Day Kahuna? Here, come pull up a chair right here. He's good. Were the Big Day Kahuna for the honor of the wearers, or was it for the honor of Hashem? That's the issue. Let's take a look inside. Let's start with the Ramban or Rabbeinu Bechayai. The Ramban himself offers two different explanations. One of them being for the honor of the wearer. And the other one being what he calls al derech ha-emes. When the Ramban talks al derech ha-emes, that means al pi kabbalah. The more mystical interpretation is that it wasn't for the honor of the people, it was for the people to show honor to Hashem. Not that Klal Yisrael should give honor to the Kohanim, but rather that via these garments, the Kohanim would show honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's talk about that for a minute. So first, take a look at the Ramban. L'chavad al-sefaris. That the Kohanim, or the Kohen Gadol here, and even the regular Kohanim had four garments, they should be respected and glorified with nice fancy clothing. like the pasuk says, "Kechasan yichahein peir." Ki ela begadim levushei malchus hein. These are garments of kingship. Kidmusan yilvush amalachim bizman haTorah. During the time of the Torah, these types of garments were the types of garments worn by kings, and he brings a lot of proofs. This skip onto page 2. Skip down a little bit. I should have. Oh, yeah, I did underline it. End of the paragraph. He speaks about how all these are kingly garments. Shehem pe'er v'shevach lamachtirim bahem. That they are a way of the people wearing them to be glorified and elevated. In other words, the garment was there to help Klal Yisrael show appropriate respect to the special tribe of Kohan, like we spoke about before, but they were the ones sitting and learning all day. They were the ones who were going to be. So we want Klal Yisrael to support them. And then the next paragraph, I should have said it's Rabbeinu Bechai. I didn't put it in there. I apologize. Same thing. L'chavad l'safaris, al-derech ha-pshat, she'iskavi s'barban. Because Rabbeinu Bechai almost always follows the Ramban. But now let's look down. So that's al-derech ha-emes. Now again, it would probably also help the Kohen look at himself. I always tell the boys, you know, they always say, like, why do we have a dress code? Why do we have a dress code? I talk about this all the time with them. I said, because if you're sitting in class with a button-down shirt and a pair of pants and not in slippers, slides, you're sitting in class with a button-down shirt and pants and shoes that, you know, now we love sneakers. In the old days, it was only shoes. Okay, whatever. It's different than if you're sitting in shorts and a tank top and slides. You feel differently. Forget about the respect for what you for what you're learning, but you feel differently. So the first pshat in the Ramban is, it's for you to be respected, respectable, not only for others to respect you, but for you to remind yourself of the dignity with which you're supposed to be conducting yourself. But then the second pshat he has, Val derech emes. Take a look at the bottom of page 2. Val derech emes l'chol zoros yomar. She also be the kodes aron shoras b'am l'chavod Hashem hashochim b'sochem ulseferes uzam. Not l'chavod klal Yisrael. Not l'chavod the kohanim. It's l'chavod Hashem. K'diksev ki tiferes uzamo ata uksev beis kodshenu v'tif artenu asher hilalucha avoseinu. That's a pasuk in Yishayo. Right? I'm not sure how many of us have been mekayim, the mitzvah in the Shulchan Aruch, every time you go to the Kotel. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been there in 30 days, you're supposed to rip your garments. I do that. I rip my garments. I go there. Yeah. And you're supposed to say this pasuk. There's the pasuk. Beis kachenu v'tifatenu shehilcho ba'avaseinu hoysa l'sreifas ish v'chol machmadenu hoysa l'charva. Anyway, v'kachenu who... Who are covered with tefarto of teferis Yisrael? Oz v'Yisrael Migdasha. V'chein lefar makom migdashi. She'a makom ha-migdash mefor b'teferis. U'makom raglov. She'u makom beis ha-migdash mechubad b'kavod Hashem. And that's why at the end he says you got to have a special kavana. He says at the end that when you made it, they had to be made for the special kavana to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what I try to learn from this is that, you know, clothing, proper clothing does both things. Both are true. Both the pshat of the Ramban and the Kabbalistic pshat of the Ramban. Both the pshat, the nigla, the revealed pshat, and the hidden, mysterious Kabbalistic pshat. Both of them are true when it comes to clothing. And that's why we have special clothing for Shabbos. That's why you're supposed to wear special clothing when you walk into a shul. That's, you have to have respect for a base medrash, for a shul, for makom ha-migdash, needs to have a certain respected garment. And you can't just, you know, walk in. A person should feel, again, you're an onus, whatever, you know, you were just playing ball and whatever it is, you're a minion in the shul, you come, whatever. I'm saying, if you're an onus, you're an onus. You have no choice, you have no choice. But a person is supposed to have the big day kahuna teach us that special places need to have need to be designated with special dress and special people. And the, you know, I remember when I got smicha, so my Rebbe Mordechai Willick said, now you have smicha, now you should wear a hat when you daven. Not that he held al pi halacha, everybody has to wear a hat. No, you're a rabbi, you have to look the part. I was the same person 2 days ago that I was 2 days later. Nothing changed. But he said, no, something did change. You're now a rabbi. Now you should put on a hat. So said my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Willig, to me. So the, but the point is that begadim, one of the big lessons of the Big Day Kahuna is that the way a person dresses bespeaks a certain honor. Anyway, there's so much more to talk about. So let's continue. The next piece is a long... I wanted to speak about that.
Okay.
No, I'm saying, yeah. What do you mean I'm focused on the jacket? All of them. I think the Ramban understands that all of the Big Day Kahuna were like the he goes through all of them, explaining how all of them were worn by kings of that time. So that's the pshat that says it's to honor the person. But then he says that these exquisite, ornate garments were to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just the jacket. I think all of them. All of them. I think so. Oh. And in the next piece, the Akedas Yitzchak, follows a theme that we spoke about extensively last week. Again, it's hard for me to 100% remember exactly what we said when, but last week we spoke about, it's been 19 years, I think. This is year 19 of this year. So I think I remember. I don't even remember what I had for dinner yesterday. Actually, I do, of course. I've had the same thing, the dinner, the same the last 2.5 years. But anyway, but this piece highlights something very, very important about Yiddishkeit. This is a lengthy, Akedas Yitzchak is like a book of philosophy. Rav Yitzchak Arama, book of philosophy. And he goes on and on. It's such a long piece. And this is just a little snippet of a very, very long piece. And basically, I just want to summarize it more outside. I don't really want to read the whole thing inside because it's very long. But I want to summarize what he says over here. He says, first of all, many people simply go through their observance of Judaism by rote. By rote. There's no feeling there. You don't know who you're serving. You don't think about why you're doing what you're doing. You don't think about who you're doing it for. You don't think about it. You just get into a routine, and it's rote. That's what the Navi says. You can see. I'll just show you a little bit, right? Look at the third line from Pasuk in Yishayo. V'tihi yirasem osi mitzvas anashim melumada. Mitzvas anashim melumada means rote. We serve by rote. And the Akedas Yitzchak talks about here how important it is for a person to not... He says, that's a madrega. It's worth something. It's not worth nothing. You're serving Hashem. If somebody would stop you in the middle of the street, you'd do, oh, of course, I'm serving Hashem. But you're not thinking about it. I'm slapping on the tefillin every morning. I'm rolling through the davening. I'll just pause this for a second. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but pause it for 1 second. Yeah. Now, the Akedas Yitzchak here continues and stresses how important it is to understand the themes and the ideas behind mitzvos. And he says that even though if you can't really understand the full depth of understanding of why we're doing everything, but at least you have to remember, and I think a lot of people suffer from this actually, more people than we would really want to believe, that we forget about God in the service. We forget about God. Like you put on the tefillin every morning, like, are we thinking Hashem? Are we thinking Hashem? That's what he talks about. So one thing he says that even if you don't fully understand the reasons for everything that we're doing, at least the simple level should be just remember that you're doing it to serve Hashem. Why exactly this and not that? Maybe that's a higher madriga. That's better. And then he says, and this is an idea that we spoke about last week extensively, probably even it was the Akedas Yitzchak, but he says, just take a look towards the end. It's a very long piece. I don't want to read the whole thing inside. I want to read you one thing. And we talked about this last week. It's five lines from the bottom on the first page of that case. It's a Valzeho Ofen Be'emes Lo Butla Avoda La'olam. We think there's no more Beis HaMikdash. We think there's no more Karbanos. There's no more Big Day Kahuna. There's no more Mizbeach. There's no more nothing. He says, no, it's the furthest thing from the truth, says Akedas Yitzchak. And so when we stressed it last week also, I don't know if it was the same commentary or different, I forgot of it. It's true. The act of bringing karbanos is not around, But you and I are sitting around on a Thursday night discussing what's the symbolism of the Big Day Kahuna. What's this? So the lessons and the messages of the Big Day Kahuna Klal Yisrael are still as relevant today as they were then. He's talked before about how karbanos are there. Zivchei Elokim ruach nishbara. That the goal of the karbanos was to break man's spirit, to cause him to be humble. So if we're going to study about the karbanos, we can still learn from them to be humble today. So even though we can't bring them, but we can study them and grow from them and assimilate all of their messages even today. A person can learn to be a Yirei Shamayim and soft of heart, always with all of his words. You know what the goal of the Karbanos is? Zivchei Elokim, the goal is, I realize that could have been me on the Mizbeach. When I bring a Karban Chatas, that's instead of me, that my blood is its blood. That it's us, its blood is my blood. Its limbs are my limbs. Lev nishbar v'nidke Elokim lo sivze. Amar achash yadanu shakavanu bezivchei Elokim hi liyos lezoveach ruach nishbar lefanu v'nei yadanu. Ki lev nishbar v'nidke af ki yebeli karbon. Kigon bizman she'ein beis hamikdash kayem. Still Elokim lo sivze. So when we had the karbon, so the karbon reminded us of zivchei Elokim ruach nishbar lev nishbar v'nidke Elokim lo sivze. When we had the karbon, that reminded us. So now we don't have the karbon. But now, if we read about the carbon and remind ourselves about the carbon and remind ourselves that the Navi says about a carbon that zivchei elokim ruach nishbar lev nishbar v'nidke elokim lo sivze, if you walk through life with a lev nishbar v'nidke, you'll realize that elokim lo sivze, that affects the way we daven, that affects the way we talk to other people, that affects the humility with which we carry ourselves with. Lev nishbar v'nidke elokim lo sivze. And he continues, and that's what it means. We quoted this last week also. Anyone who learns about the Karbanos, so he says this in the context of getting a deeper understanding and why we're doing this. We're coming up on Pesach time. Pesach time is one of those times where everything we do has some commemoration of something that we did in the past. We go through a whole Seder. We have that whole experience to commemorate, and the more we understand, the more we can assimilate the lessons, even though Yetzias Mitzrayim happened so many hundreds and thousands of years ago, by re-experiencing it, and re-talking about it, re-discussing it. One of the Rebbe's in our yeshiva, sent around on the Rebbe chat, he created this game on the internet, one of these Wheel of Fortune games, where you could press a button, and it randomly spits out a pasuk from the Megillah. So his activity, his Purim Suda, is everyone gets a chance to press the button, and whatever pasuk comes out, you have to be able to say a vort on that pasuk. So I said, I didn't know which was more impressive, that this Rebbe was able to create the game, or that he actually has a vort on every pasuk in the Megillah. He has something to say. So one of the other Rebbe said, no, just on every pasuk you could say, Hashem's name doesn't show up in this pasuk, in the Megillah. Hashem's name doesn't show up. But anyway, but the idea is, the deeper that you understand things, the more they make an impression. And there's different levels. And I once heard Rabbi Mansour spoke in DRS, he talked about this, how the Pasuk says about Torah, it's Rechava Mine Yam. It's vast like the ocean. So he said the image that he taught us about that was, he taught the guys, imagine next to the Atlantic Ocean, you had 1,000 fire trucks pumping all the water out of the Atlantic Ocean. They pumped for 3 weeks straight. And they always say, did the level of the water go down? you could barely even be able to tell that the level went down. It's like a tipa shebayam. Like learning, the amount of learning in Torah, it's endless. It's endless, the Torah you could learn. There's always more to learn. There's always more to grow. There's always deeper to, and the deeper we understand, and it'll make so much more of a difference. Oh, let's talk a little bit about jealousy. There's a beautiful Torah about jealousy in the parasha, about the opposite of jealousy. Drushas Haran. I don't know if so many people are familiar with the Drushas Haran. The Drushas Haran is amazing because the Drushas Haran are drushos by a Rishon. The Ran was one of the Rishonim, right? Usually we have commentaries on the Chumash. But drushas haran, usually drushas like by the later, by the achronim, but the ran was a rishon, one of the rishonim. And he wrote drushas. So in drusha number 3, he talks about a statement of Chazal in the Gemara Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Tes. Did Aaron merit to be Kohen Gadol and not Moshe? Well, not so much in that Moshe, but in what merit was Aaron Zocha to be Kohen Gadol? So let's read from the beginning, just around. Vim calls that, Bios Kasha Lamoshe Sheidaber and Paro, Bios Aral Sfasayim, it should say, Nazan Shem Zocha Lamaturgam and Aaron, Bios Aaron Gadol Men, Bekodim Labinavu, Alonis Kanibo. Whereas Kizar of Sin Zal Lamala Gedoyla Elov, Shekibel Schar Aleha. Even though Aaron was greater than Moshe. Even though Aaron was older than Moshe. And he was a prophet before Moshe was a prophet. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, God selected Moshe. And Aaron was not jealous. And it says the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuflav and Tess. Loin Niskanebo, he wasn't jealous. So Kfaris Kirzer of Saint Zal Lamala Gedoyla Elov. Shekibel Scharala. Our rabbis consider this to be a tremendous merit for Aaron, and he got schar for not being jealous of Moshe, even though he could have tainted. I did look, if you read the Chumash, the whole reason Moshe didn't want to take the job is because he didn't want to steal it from Aaron. So obviously, there was a logic that he would have given it to Aaron. And yet, Aaron wasn't jealous. Unbelievable. I don't know. Let's think about it for a few seconds. If that was you, if that was me, and my little brother got it ahead of me, would I be so willing to just walk away and say, oh yeah, I'm okay with my little brother getting it, getting the message of being the leader of Klal Yisrael? I probably would say, what happened? What happened to me? What happened to me? Aaron didn't have that reaction. And Chazal say he got schar. Amar Pergolazar. Amar Rabbi Simloi. Bischar v'roacha v'samach b'libo. Zacha l'choshen ha-mishpat al-libo. That's why it's in this parsha. That's why Rav Lopiansky has in this parsha. In the merit of v'roacha v'samach b'libo. Remember that pasuk? V'roacha v'samach b'libo. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, God, I can't take the job. Aaron's going to go crazy. Hashem says to him, don't worry. He's going to see you. V'roacha v'samach b'libo. He's going to see. He's going to be happy for you. He's going to be happy for you. What an amazing madrega for Aaron. I think if we'd be honest with ourselves, we'd realize that's an amazing madrega. It's an amazing madrega. Yeah, maybe all you are, you know, I'm not on your level, but I know for me that would be a big madrega. So the Drashas Aran wants to know, what's the mida keneged mida? What's the mida keneged mida? Why was he zeicha to the choshen, dafka, the choshen amishpat alibo, v'rocha v'samach belibo? What's the connection between the choshen and the lack of jealousy? So the Drashas Aran, I believe what he means to say, he has a very long piece here. It's very long. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Let's go towards the end. Go to the next page. It's about 12 lines before the end of the paragraph, where it says like this. Vim Kane. Last word of the line is Zacha. Lama Zacha Bo Aran. Figadosh Chazal. She Zacha Legmol Tov Ba'os Inyan. Right, the Drash Aran is actually very interesting. He says that Hashem always rewards people mida keneged mida, and he punishes people mida keneged mida. Why does God do that? The reason he does it mida keneged mida is because if Hashem would just stop and give a reward, like a guy did a good thing, I'll give him $1 million, no one's going to think that it was because of what he did. No one's going to realize it. They're going to just think, oh, you found $1 million. No one's going to be able to connect it back. No one's going to learn about the greatness of the action from the reward. Hashem wanted to reward a person in the same way, in the same midah, so that people will learn what was the good, we should learn from the good action that he did. I saw fit to reward this act. That's the first part of the Drash Aran that I skipped. But now let's see what he says. He was a prophet before Moshe. Lo niskanebo kishnivcha lenavi. But yet, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one chosen to be the prophet of Klal Yisrael. So in that merit, Aaron was zochet to even maybe a higher level of prophecy than Moshe by wearing the Urim and Tumim. To be able to tell the future. Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet But Aaron was able to tell the future. Af mi shalohai royal in yanei akohuna. Avol me'asher, even though maybe Aaron wasn't as roy. Avol me'asher lo niskani b'nevuas Moshe, since he wasn't jealous of Moshe's prophecy. Zacha b'hodos ha'asidos, shavu l'nevuah o yosa mimena. Says the Ran, that was at least as good as being a Navi. And maybe even a Navi here, he means like the messenger, Hashem, giving over Hashem's messages to Klai Yisrael. So Moshe was selected for that. So Aaron got to tell the future with the Choshen. He would like ask questions of the Choshen, what should we do? Should we go over there? The Choshen would tell you what to do. Shekvarodin Razal Perak Bolo Koin Golo, Mseches Yuma, Sheha Asidos, Hanodos, Aideurim Betumim, Mechuyavos Yoser, Mehaiduos Benevua. Wow. The Gemara says, something that was said by the Urim and Tumim of the Choshen was even more definite to happen than something that was known through Nevuah. Because a Nevuah, God could change his mind, or Klai Yisrael could lose the opportunity to get that. But once it was said by the Urim and Tumim, you couldn't even lose it. That's what the Gemara says in Yuma. Amusham api shegzeres ha-Navi chozeres. Even though if the Navi says something, Hashem could change his mind. Zeres Urim and Tumim ein chozeros. Hine, skip a line. Shezacha Aaron the Majeg Gadol Kro the Majeg Zevuv Laod Shezacha Bat Lo Ulazaro. Not only that, Aaron got his gift for him and his kids. Moshe was only him; didn't go to his kids. The Cholze Bischash and this Asik and Moshe Rabbeinu all of Hashem Ben Yisrael Zayim Velo Niskane BeMoshe. Wow, wow! What a lesson in not being jealous. Not being jealous of the talents that other people have, the money that other people have, the easy time raising kids that other people had, although I have yet to find anybody in the world that had an easy time raising all of their kids. But there's so much that we can be jealous of. The looks of a person, the talents of the person, the abilities of a person. Hashem gives each person what they're supposed to have. And we have to remember that. So remember that. One of my friends once wrote a book, and he quotes as a medrash about this, that we tend to think that the Ten Commandments are listed 5 and 5, right? Bein adam la makom, bein adam la chaver. But there's others that learn the Aseret Dibros across. 1 equals 6, and 2 is 7, 3 is 8, 4 is 9, 5 is 10. Those are connected. You read them like that. So if you read them like that, don't be jealous if your friend is opposite what? Kabedes avicha v'asimecha, right? No? Is it Shabbos or no? Fifth one is Kabbalah Savicha, right? Kabbalah Savicha. Yeah. So 5 is Kabbalah Savicha, and 10 is don't be jealous. Lo Sachmon, don't desire that which, right? Lo Sachmon, Beis Reach, Lo Sachmon, Beis Reach. So what's the connection? So I think he said, and I opened my big mouth, I started saying it because it just ran into my head. I hope I could finish it. But I think he said like this, that you only have one father and one mother. You can't trade them in. You can't say, I'm not happy with my father and my mother. I'd like to trade my father in for another father. Can't happen. You only had one father, you only had one mother. With all the progressive things that the world is trying to do, they still haven't figured out how to have a man give birth to a child. Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't, maybe it will one day, but it hasn't happened yet. So you only have one father. You can't trade it in. So the Torah is telling you, that's the way you should look at everything that you have in life. You have exactly that which Hashem gave you. You're not supposed to look for something else. You can't trade in, I don't want my house, I'd love to have the other house. Just like your father and your mother, you can't trade in. So too, that's the same perspective that you're supposed to have on everything that you own. Hashem gives you exactly what you need. You don't need the other guy's wife, you don't need the other guy's house, you don't need the other guy's oxen, whatever you're not supposed to covet. Just like your father and your mother, you can't trade. That's the same perspective that you should have on everything else. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's what he wanted to suggest. Okay, a few more quick pieces. Mamish Gevaldik stuff here. Oh, beautiful. Listen to this. So Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, wore a me'il, John was talking about before, and on the bottom of the me'il there were bells, and the bells would make noise. Now, the Pasuk says, V'hayal Aaron, l'sharis, that Aaron would wear the bells. V'nishma kolo b'vo el ha'kodesh ha'metzisa v'lo yamos. The sounds, so his voice, v'nishma kolo, his sounds will be heard when he comes into the Beis HaMikdash, and when he leaves, and he won't die. So listen to the, I'm sure I once heard this pshat. Okay, who gives the first pshat, v'nishma kolo, unbelievable pshat. Unbelievable pshat, the first pshat. Rabbeinu Bechaya. This is all from Rabbeinu Bechaya. What's his first shot? V'nishma kolo. So when we read it, what would we think? V'nishma, it means the sound of the what? The sound of the bells. No? That's what you assume it means, right? That's what it sounds like. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, first shot. No. V'nishma kolo means kolo shel aro. Ki b'vo'al ha-kodesh b'levish ha-shmona b'gadim b'tachsis hazeh. Tachsis means ceremony. These ceremonial clothing. Yishma kolo v'tia tfiloso mikubeles. Wow. If you dress the right way when you come into shul, Hashem will hear you tfilos. That you have to prepare. The Rambam writes, that a person is supposed to have a special garment that he wears for davening. Special garments. He's supposed to wear an elevated sense of clothing, not the same thing you would wear like on the street or whatever. You're supposed to have something elevated. That's why some people have the minhag to wear a jacket, some people have the minhag to wear a hat, some people have the minhag to wear a tie, some people have the minhag to wear a gartel, whatever, a belt. People have a minhag, but whatever it is, you have to dress in a respectable way. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya seems to say that the Torah is saying, if Aaron dresses up the ceremonial part, v'nishma kolo, Hashem will hear his tefillos. And I think the other lesson here is that, you know, people like to think,
not just that he'll hear it, but who goes.
Yeah, it'll be accepted. Correct, that's what it means. Yeah, v'nishma kolo, it'll be accepted, yes. And Barry, I think people also, again, I'm not just people, I'm talking about myself. You know, we tend to think like, why do we have to have this special formula of tefillah? I gotta daven shachris like this, and mincha. Let me just pour out my heart and talk straight to God, man to man. Now, there is room for that in davening. It is permissible to add in prayers in davening, certain places. Interesting. Al pi halacha, really, let's say, you know, in the Siddur, they printed things for people who are sick. You could say a paragraph for people who are sick. My Rebbe, interestingly, Rav Mordechai Willig, I didn't know this till about 6-7 years ago, but my Rebbe holds that it's not appropriate to stick that into Rifa'inu. It's more appropriate to stick it at the end of that. He says you should stick everything in at the end, before you, Leratzon HaMefi. He doesn't like this practice, which al pi halacha is really permissible, to stick in, let's say, if you have parnasa issues, to stick it in Barei Chaleinu. I tell the kids, if you're taking a test that day, you can stick it in Atachon and Ladam Das. In English, say, before you say Chaneni Mincha Dei B'Nevaskel, say in English, Hashem, please give me the wisdom to do well on my science test today. It's okay, you're allowed to stick in ad hoc.
Even Gemara.
So, my Rebbe holds it's better at the end. That's not really for a halakhic reason. It's more for a public policy. He doesn't like people playing around with the tefillos. But the whole thing is that there is a formula. Anshei Knesset Gedolah set us up with the formula of tefillos. So the first pshat on that Rabbeinu Bechaya says, if we observe the ceremony the way it's supposed to be, that's going to help us to get the tefillos accepted. But then he says the other pshat, which also has unbelievable lessons. Unbelievable lessons. Then Rabbeinu Bechaya says the second shot. V'yichlol od. Kolo means no, like you all thought. Kol ha-me'il. No, not the sound of Aaron's voice. No. The sound of the me'il. B'harosh ha-sapamonim. Havan arisha rush, rush, rush. Right? Chag Purim. B'harosh ha-sapamonim. The clanging of the bells. V'hayez ha-miderech ha-musar. Why? What does the pasuk mean? The bells should ring before Aaron walks inside. It's mussar that before you walk into somebody's house, you should knock on the door first. So says Rabbeinu Bechaya. V'limda Torah derech eretz la'adam arotz l'nikanes l'fnei ha'melech. She'yeh makish b'pesach ha'heich ha'tchila. Ring the bells before you walk in. K'dei shlo yikanes pitom. Don't go in suddenly. Malchusa de'ara kein malchusa de'rikia. So Hashem operates in the same way that we operate down here. Ki kol abba beheichal ha-melech pitom harei zechayv misa betachsi ha-melechus. Oh, Purim coincidence. Kinyin shekod melech ha-chashverosh. Asher lo yukarei. Vashti tells Achashveru tells Mordechai, hey, I'm not Vashti. Esther tells Mordechai, I don't know if I can go. I wasn't called. If I go without knocking, then I'm going to die. You don't barge in unannounced. And then he adds another pshat, which I didn't want to... He said the reason for the bells was to get rid of the malachim in there, that somehow the Kohen Gadol had to have this intimate moment with Hashem. Even the malachim had to head out of there to give him space to have that special private moment. But so fascinating that the Torah is trying to teach us Musar, that you're supposed to knock. You don't just run in to the king. Don't just run in. You got to knock. You got to ask permission. You got to have respect. And this is all part of the idea of having kavod for the Beis HaMikdash. And here we're learning about just even simple manners, simple decency, having kavod for other people. So much to unpack here. The next piece, in one line each so we can finish on time, or close to on time. For us, on time is 5 minutes late, but V'yadu ki ani Hashem Elokeim, asher hotzeisi osam me'ratzayim l'shachrim b'sochem ani Hashem Elokeim. So the Ramban quotes from Rashi, al menas lishkom b'sochem. So he quotes the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, first he quotes one pshat, he doesn't like that pshat. The Ramban quotes Ibn Ezra that, you know why Hashem built the Migdash, Mishkan? Because Hashem had a need, in quotes. I'm saying that in quotes. Hashem had a desire to live amongst the Jewish people, not for the sake of the Jewish people, for the sake of Hashem. What do you mean for the sake of Hashem?
It is.
What do you mean for the sake of Hashem? The sake of Hashem is because Hashem wants to give to the Jewish people. Hashem wants to protect the Jewish people. Hashem wants to get close to the Jewish people. Look what he says. You think I'm making it up? Amar Rabbi Avram. Amar. Kilot says in the time, Rak Bavur ki Yeshu Mesochem. V'zehu Tavdim Esel Kim Alar Azev. V'yavim Bir. Shem Kain. Yesh Binyan Sod Gadol. The Ramban says this is a great secret, a mysterious secret. Ki Kafi Pshat Adavar. If you wouldn't have had this Ibn Ezra, you would have thought, Hashchina b'Yisrael tzorech hetyot, v'lod tzorech gavoa. It's for our benefit to have him here, not for his benefit. What does he need to be here for? Avalukin shamar kosev Yisrael asher b'cha es pa'or. Navi Yishayahu says, Klal Yisrael is the vehicle that Hashem becomes glorified. V'amri Yoshua, Uma tasa l'shimcha gadol. What about your great name? Upsukim rambokin. Eva l'moshav lo. God desired a moshav. Right, bikesh Hakadosh Baruch Hu liyos lo dira betachtonim, Chazal say. Po eshev ki ivisia. Then it says v'kosev v'haaretz ezkar. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it sounds like that Hashem has a desire to be close to us, to not just to be up there in the heavens. He has a desire to be involved with us. He has the desire to, as it were, again, it doesn't mean that he has a desire that Hashem is lacking anything. But it means, again, somehow there's this idea that Hashem wants to be with us. He wants to give to us. He wants to watch over us. He cares about us. He wants to feel close to us. And finally, what's the Ketores about? Unbelievable. Just very quickly, beautiful Sefer Achinuch. The Ketores is that there should be sweet smells in the Beis HaMikdash. So everybody working in the Beis HaMikdash should enjoy the service, because the more a Yid enjoys his service, the more he'll do it in the right way, the more he'll be excited to do it. If you in the service that you enjoy, you get more excited about. And the Ramban talks about this deep, dark, mysterious secret of how the Ketores has the ability to get rid of the Midas HaDin. And then he says, it's ridiculous that the Rambam writes, you want to hear what the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim? You know why that Ketores? Because all the foul-smelling animals were in there. And the Rambam says, a very rational approach to classic Rambam, where the Rambam says they needed the Ketores. It was stinking of animal hide, disgusting dead animal carcasses in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ketores would get rid of the bad smell. The Ramban says, Chas v'shalom. That's ridiculous that that was the reason to get rid of the bad smell. Chas v'shalom. It's this mysterious, powerful ketores, which is about the neshama, and it contradicts Hashem midas adin. When the Klal Yisrael brings this sweet smelling ketores, somehow it manages to avert the midas adin, whatever that means. Again, beyond my pay grade, but to me, that what I do understand is the Sefer HaChinuch, where the Sefer HaChinuch says that in order to enjoy the service, so they made a very beautiful smell. So said the Sefer HaChinuch, because Hashem wanted the Kohanim to enjoy the service, because that which you enjoy, He'll stick with you. I'll just close with this. We say in Birchas HaTorah every morning, Hashem, please make Torah learning joyful for me. If learning Torah is joyous for the parents, it's a good chance that it'll be joyous for the kids too. That's what we say. Harevna, make it sweet. If it's Harevna, so it will enjoy it, and the kids will see how much we enjoy it, so they'll want to go in that direction as well. So even though we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have Big Day Kahuna, we no longer have Kohanim, we still have timeless messages that we can learn from these parshios. Hopefully we'll continue to learn from them, although I don't know what I'm going to do when Rav Lopiansky gets to Vayakal and Pekudei, because I'm a little worried that there's almost nothing on Vayakal and Pekudei. We'll have to see. Vayakal has exactly... Oh, Vayakal has some stuff. Pekudei. All right, we have enough. Oh, yeah, there's enough here. Okay. Everyone have a great Shabbos. Thank you very much for coming.
Is it a double parsha?